Let me just read a few verses to you from John's Gospel. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus. That's a funny name, isn't it? I don't know anybody called Nicodemus, do you? He's the only guy I've ever heard of called Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The man came to him, that the him being Jesus, at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Jesus replied, "I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But how can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you just don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can these things be?" said Nicodemus. "Are you a teacher in Israel and don't know these things?" Jesus replied. "I assure you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. But you do not accept our testimony." You don't mind if I step forward a little closer tonight, do you? It's a little more intimate. It's really, really good that you've come tonight. I'm very pleased to see your faces. But here in John's Gospel, I find an issue that confuses so many people. There's this really clever man called Nicodemus. He's a wise man, he's a ruler. And rulers in those days were people you came to with your problems and you told them and they made a decision. And Nicodemus was used to making decisions over people's lives. He was no mere ordinary guy. He wasn't uneducated. And when Jesus says to him, you know, this Nicodemus, he comes at night for obvious reasons. He didn't want to be seen. And he comes to Jesus, and you would expect Jesus to do a proper introduction, wouldn't you? You'd expect Jesus to start with, "Hello, I'm Jesus. These are my guys that follow me. There's Peter, there's Andrew." You'd expect a bit of that. You would expect, "Well, would you like a cup of tea with us?" "Oh, I'm sorry, you only do that if you're British." You would expect something like that, wouldn't you? But Jesus sort of goes straight for the jugular. He says to him, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Well, it's a bit bizarre to say to someone, "You must be born again," isn't it? I mean, you must have heard the phrase. People talk about born again Christians. Then born again Christians. I have someone I know who will not tick Christian on census forms, but will write next to it, "born again Christian," and then tick it. You know, there are so many people who find their identity in being born again. But actually, Jesus said, there is nobody else following God than those that are born again. And he goes on to talk about the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of the United Kingdom, I know something about. The kingdom of Swaziland, I know something about. I know something about different kingdoms. I know that to be a citizen of the kingdom of Swaziland, you have to be born in Swaziland. I know that the easiest way to be a member of a citizen of the United Kingdom is to be born in the United Kingdom. And Jesus is saying something very similar here. What he's saying is, there is a kingdom of God. It's not this kingdom. And you've got to be born into it. And he uses this word. He says, you must be born of the Spirit. And this word Spirit in our English Bibles is a word by itself. But in the original Greek, it's a word that we translate three ways. The word is pneuma, which is a word you know because we prefix pneumatic, pneumonia and anything to do with air and breath and life, really, we prefix with pneuma. But pneuma means spirit, breath, and wind. It means all three. And the only way you can tell which word is intended is by reading the context of the Greek. So we read the context of the Greek and we say, oh, this should be translated spirit. We read it another way, oh, it should be translated breath. So in the account of creation, where it says God breathed into man, we might as well say God spirited into man. Or God blew a wind into man. Because it's the same word. In the New Testament, it's the same word for wind or breath or spirit. So when Jesus says, look, you're asking me about this. You say you don't get this born again stuff. Let me put it to you this way. The wind blows where it pleases. You can't see it, but you can tell where it's been. And Jesus is using the same word. He's saying wind, spirit, spirit, wind. It's the same word. We translate it differently because Jesus actually meant it differently. He meant wind. But he is trying to say that just as there is something out there that's blowing a bit tonight, not too bad, but it's blowing a bit, and you can't see it, but you can see the effect it has. You are aware when it blows your newspaper out your hand. You're aware when it blows a branch off a tree. You're aware of these things, but you cannot see the wind. Jesus says, it's being born again is the same stuff. It's you're being born of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. You see, when you become a Christian, there is a total change that takes place. It's as invisible as the wind, and yet it alters your citizenship. It, if you like, gives you a heavenly passport. And when I say a heavenly passport, I'm not talking about you get your pass stamped so you can go to heaven. That's a side issue, really. What I'm talking about is you become a citizen of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is something we're all taught to pray for. Do you remember that prayer you were taught? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. We're told to pray that the kingdom of God will come. And Jesus says, to be in that kingdom, you've got to be born again. And it's not just a matter of jumping inside your mother's womb, which I would imagine would be extremely painful for your mother, and it would be almost impossible for you. Nicodemus points that out. You see, I told you he wasn't thick. He's pointing that out. But what we have to say about this is it's just as real an experience. Being born is your beginning. Being born again is a new beginning. And the Bible puts it this way. It says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. It says in another place, for both circumcision and uncircumcision, that means Jewishness and Gentileness, mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. And in a third place, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. There's a joke about George W. Bush. Now, George W. Bush proved that you could get to be the leader of the free world with an IQ in the 90s. Now, personally, I never knocked George Bush. I think he did a lot of good things. And he certainly expressed his Christian faith. But he was quite open with the fact that his IQ began with a 9. And a lot of people have joked about him, and there was this joke that did the rounds about this little boy who wins an aeroplane ride with the Pope and George W. Bush. And they fly into the sky, and they're flying around, and this little boy is sat between the president and the Pope, and he's talking to the president, and he's talking to the Pope. Then all of a sudden, the pilot runs past them, screams, grabs a parachute, and leaps out the plane. And the three of them are left there with two parachutes. The plane is going down, and so the little boy is very confused and is looking to these two men to give him some leadership and tell him what to do. With that, George W. Bush grabs a parachute and leaps out the plane, leaving the Pope and this little boy with one parachute between them. The little boy turns to the Pope and says, "Father, what shall we do? There is only one parachute, and this plane is going down." And the Pope says to him, "Never mind, son." He said, "I think you'll find that the leader of the free world jumped out of this plane carrying your satchel." And of course, the story is that the two of them got down safely. Jumping out of an aeroplane with a satchel is absolutely stupidity. You're going to hit the earth with terminal velocity, and there's not going to be a lot left. Leaping out of a plane with a parachute, if you have to do, is good sense. Now, I'll be absolutely honest with you, I've never, ever done a charity parachute jump. People have asked me to, and I've come up with really good excuses. I have no desire to leap out of a plane. But I'll tell you what, if I was on a plane and it was going down, I'd be the first at the door with a parachute. Because nobody wants to die that way, like this horrible situation that we have seen this week in the Alps. How terrible. But faith is like a parachute. You will never know if it works unless you leap out into the unknown wearing it and pull the cord. You see, parachutes, if they're packed properly, are packed by the jumper. You train to pack a chute, you pack your own chute if you jump regularly, and you know that it was packed properly because you packed it. It's really important that it's packed properly and that it will work when you leap. But you will never know it until you leap. And I think there's an element here in what Jesus said about that today. I think Jesus said, you will never know this thing works unless you take a leap of faith. What does it mean to be born again? Well, it means you're entering into a new kingdom. There's a quite huge change that takes place in you. But aren't I being a bit vague and woolly with my language? How do you actually quantify that? How can you measure that? Does it turn you into a goody-goody? I don't really think so. The fact is that anything good a Christian is or does comes from God. It's not from ourselves. It's God that puts something of goodness in us. And what we hope is that we will manifest more of that as the days go by. But the truth is that we ourselves are nothing special. But Jesus is. Tonight, Libby said a lot about thanking God. And maybe you would struggle. Maybe you would struggle to think of something to thank God for. I have an awful lot to thank God for. I was brought up in a home with a mother that was mentally ill. My father died when I was 7, leaving me alone with this person. I lived in fear. Had it been today, I would have been taken into care. My earliest memories are all of horrible things. like my mother collapsing around my feet when I was about 18, 19 months old. We were in York shopping and she collapsed. And from that day onwards, she blamed me for her condition. She said it was me being born that had caused it. My other memories are her running away in the middle of the night in the fog and being run over on the pavement by a council lorry when I was 2 years old, shattering my leg. These are great memories, aren't they? But I have a lot to thank God for, because when I was seven, my father died. When I was eight, I found a new dad. I was born again. I was taken, adopted into the King of Kings family. I was brought into the kingdom of God. And you know, it's not that many years ago since cancer came knocking at our door. And over 2.5 year period, I watched my son die. You know, my life hasn't all turned out wonderful. That's not why I praise God. That's not why I thank God. It's not because, oh, everything in my garden is lovely. Because it isn't. But do you know what? God was with me those 2.5 years. God protected me as a child. God has been with me my whole life. And I can say, whatever pressure you're facing right now, God wants to be with you. But he does say this. It's no good you coming to me and saying, well, I went to church every week for 40 years. It's no good saying you knew the Lord's Prayer and you knew the creed and you could recite them. None of those things will make any difference. The question is, where's your passport stamped? Are you a citizen of heaven? Have you been born again? Have you entered into relationship with God? Do you know, Tony Blair famously said, I don't do God. Well, I do God. But it isn't that I do certain things from which I get my identity. It's that my identity has been given to me by God. And because of that, I do certain things. It's not what I do that makes me a Christian. It's who I am. It's that I am born again. Would you just bow your heads with me while we pray? Just want us to take 30 seconds just to be quiet and just to consider what I've said to you, to consider what Jesus said. You may not have a perfect example of what it means to be a Christian. You may, in fact, have the opposite. But do you know what? God loves you. And he wants you to live with him and walk with him. And I just want to ask you tonight, while every head is bowed, while we're just in this quiet time, what about you? Would you choose to walk with Jesus? All I can tell you is, it makes a phenomenal difference to life. I'm just going to be quiet for a moment. Father God, we come to you tonight in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. We ask you to help us to leap into your arms by faith. We ask you to work that work in all of us of renewal, of change, where you breathe into us, where your wind blows on us, where your spirit brings change. We ask you, Father, that from this day forward we might all walk with you, that we might find a journey with God that is not only pleasant, but is very, very intensely special in a way that only we can know. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.